Scripture reading this morning is taken from Matthew's Gospel, Matthew chapter 7. This is the last of the three chapters in Matthew's Gospel that record for us Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. In the Pew Bibles, page 1118, 1118. And we're going to be looking at this portion of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the sort of parable he tells at the end of it, in connection with what we've been looking at in Article 5 of the Belgic Confession concerning what we say about the Word of God, or ultimately what the Bible says about itself, and the confidence we have that these 66 books of the Bible and these only are holy and canonical. That is to say, they are divinely inspired from God Himself, and they are for the regulating, the founding, and the establishing of our faith. Matthew chapter 7, we'll begin reading at verse 13. This is the word of the Lord. This is Jesus speaking. "Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You'll know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name?' And then I will declare to them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness.' Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell. Great was its fall." And so it was when Jesus had ended these sayings that the people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. So far from the holy word of God. I urge you to keep your Bibles open here if you can, but turn with me as well, if you have the Forms and Prayers books, to page 156. And if you're using the Trinity Psalter hymnal, you may also find these words, page 856. Article 5, the authority of Scripture. We receive all these books and these only as holy and canonical for the regulating, founding, and establishing of our faith. I'm going to carry on reading for context for a moment, but just a note. Last Lord's Day, we focused on Scripture as the rule of faith, for the only rule of faith, the regulating of our faith. This Lord's Day, we're focusing on Scripture as the only foundation, and Lord willing, next Lord's Day, the blessing of being established in our faith, assured, confirmed in our faith by virtue of Scripture alone. And we believe without a doubt all things contained in them, not so much because the church receives and approves them as such, but above all because the Holy Spirit testifies in our hearts that they are from God, and also because they prove themselves to be from God. For even the blind themselves are able to see that the things predicted in them do happen. Now again from Matthew 7, just to keep these verses before us, verses 24 and 25. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, I don't know if you've ever been called a rock or how you felt if you were. It can perhaps have different connotations depending on whether people mean it favorably or not. Sometimes a person who is only stubborn and miserably so may be called a rock that you cannot move. But that's not what we're talking about here. Maybe you know someone who is called a rock. A rock in his Christian commitment, in his Christian faith. And when we say somebody is a rock in that sense, we're speaking of someone who is known for their reliability, for their stability, for their being unwavering. They're not going to be tossed to and fro. They're not fickle. They don't change with the seasons, so to speak, or flutter about this way or that way with the winds of change in the world. They are a rock. So we see that to be a good thing. We have before us this morning a further look at what we say about the Bible as the only foundation, the only way of founding our faith. And we say that we are built upon the rock, which is Scripture. I want to use the little parable that Jesus used at the end of his Sermon on the Mount to make this point. I think this parable, this earthly story that Jesus uses to make a scriptural or a spiritual, a heavenly point, is probably familiar to most of us. The story of the two builders, the wise builder and the foolish builder. The wise man builds his house upon the rock. The rains come down and the floods go up. The house on the rock stands firm. The foolish man builds his house upon the sand. Same rains come down, the same floods go up. The same winds beat on that house and that house falls to the ground. It falls flat. And Jesus tells us what the difference is between the wise man and the foolish man. Externally, they're no different. Externally, you look at the houses that they build and they look about the same. They probably built from the same catalog of blueprints, but they built in a different place. And this is teaching us, therefore, what it is to be built on the firm foundation that alone is established in Jesus Christ. I would relate the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 11. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will reveal or declare it, because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. There is no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. And Jesus is making the same point here in terms of the wise builder being the one who hears his words and does them. Jesus is making the same point. He is the foundation. He is the rock. But we stand upon that foundation. We know this Jesus. We come to know this blessing of standing upon the rock through the Word. And therefore, these words of mine, Jesus says, declare to you the way. Enable you to know that you stand upon this rock. What Jesus is saying in his parable is that we are all builders. We're all building in this life in terms of the lives that we lead, the decisions we make, the commitments we have. But there are only two ways of building. Building on the rock or building on sand. On shifting, sinking sands. There are only two results that Jesus speaks about. Either you stand firm or you fall flat. Now, we may experience some of these things from time to time in various times in our lives. There are times when we may be declared to be foolish in the decisions we make and the ways that we take, and we find ourselves teetering and tottering, falling this way or that. And the Word must be our foundation to enable us to get up and stand up and stay firm. But we're not speaking merely about how it goes from day to day. We're speaking ultimately of how it goes for eternity. Are you standing on solid ground? Do you have a firm foundation in the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are you standing on sinking sand? As we think about Scripture as the alone foundation for our faith, I want to speak about the blessing this morning of being built and founded on the rock. We're going to look at three things. We're going to look at faith's basis, faith's blessing, and faith's building. We speak of faith's basis. We're talking about bedrock. We're talking about the foundations. We're talking about where we stand. And the picture that Jesus uses is the picture of those two builders. They both wanted to build a house. As I said, from every indication, if you looked at those houses, they would look largely the same. But the story would have resonated with Jesus' hearers because they would have known of situations in that arid climate where you could build your house in a place that looked pretty good. If you weren't thoughtful, if you weren't mindful, if you haven't thought things through, only to know that when the rains came and the floods rose up, that that house would be in a very dangerous place and it would fall flat. A wise builder in Jesus' day knows about these conditions, about these realities, and if he's going to build his house in a floodplain, perhaps he wouldn't do it at all, but if he would do so, he would be one who would dig down to bedrock and he would found his house and anchor it firmly upon the rock. What you note also with regard to the story that Jesus says is that the experiences of life are the same. I cannot promise anyone here that if you are a Christian or if you become a Christian, you take your stand with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you are going to be somehow cut off from or protected from, immune to disease or trial or difficulty. The rains will come. The floods will rise. The winds will pound upon you. Jesus Christ has told us, in this world, you are going to have trouble. Not just those other people, it's you. Jesus is speaking to his followers. You can expect trials of life. And you need to be able to know, I am going to stand. I'm going to stand through it all. And I'm going to stand for eternity. When all is said and done, I'm going to stand before God, my Maker. And I'm going to stand in confidence. Not because of my accomplishments. Not because I always went to church. Jesus warns against that reality in Matthew 7, the verses 21 through 23. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, done many wonders in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. You get the sense from what Jesus is describing here that these are foolish sand builders taking refuge in what I did. Lord, I did this, I did that. But I never knew you. Or Jesus says with regard to them, I never knew you. They never knew him. He didn't know them. Do you know where you stand? Do you know that you stand upon solid ground and not shifting sands? Jesus is making plain here, there is but one way. And as I've shown you from 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, there is no other foundation, no other rock to stand upon than the rock that is Christ. You've seen from a couple of places in our use of the Psalm, Psalm 61, Psalm 62, our singing of Psalm 95. God is declared to be a rock. Deuteronomy 32, verse 31 says it very gloriously. Their rock is not like our rock. Even our enemies judge themselves being judged. Our rock is God. Our solid, firm, reliable, steadfast, committed foundation is God. And as 1 Corinthians 10 verse 4 reminds us, that rock is Christ. The rock is Christ. That's a confidence we can have. Now, there are many ways that people don't have that firm foundation. Many ways that by nature we won't have it. We don't have it for ourselves. We'll think, you know what? I'll fix it up. I'll build my own house. I'll do it my way. Whether we're talking about a religionist who has the idea that his place in eternity will come by virtue of some terrorist act, or the views of other religions that think that if you just spend your time contemplating nothingness, you'll come into some state of nirvana or something like that. Or those who think, and this is typical of many of us, if I just get it all together, I'll be okay. Or the idea that is very popular, I can do my own thing. I'll be my own person. Nobody's going to tell me what to do. And in the end, everybody is going to be okay anyway. Everybody gets to go to heaven. These are all lies. These are all the ways in which we may build upon sinking sand. We need to ask ourselves, how can we know where we stand? How can I know that I have this confidence for eternity? And Jesus says, you hear my words and you respond to them. You hear and do my words. Jesus is the rock of our salvation. He is the one in whom we find our confidence. Not in the way of anything we would have mustered up within ourselves. There's no way in which we can build up that confidence for ourselves. And thanks be to God, this is the good news that Jesus is bringing to us here in the context of this. He's pointing to himself. You can be encouraged. There is a basis. There is a solid rock upon which to stand over against all the other ways that I would have tried in my own strength, which are sinking sand. 1 John 5, verse 13. These things have been written that you may know that you have eternal life. 1 John 5, verse 12, he who has the Son, that's Jesus, has eternal life. He who does not have the Son does not have eternal life. What is the basis for your confidence? The basis must be that I stand upon the rock which is Jesus. The ability to know is simply the matter of saying, as we do with that age-old children's hymn, Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. 1 Timothy 1, verse 15, this is a faithful saying, worthy of all acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I'm the foremost, I'm the chief, Paul is saying. So I don't care who I'm speaking to this morning. I don't care what you're struggling with. I don't care what it is that keeps you from having this firm confidence. I want to encourage you in the grace and love that we have in Jesus Christ, that there is forgiveness in Him. There's a place to stand in Jesus Christ. There are so many ways in which we may think the basis for my confidence comes out of ourselves. And Jesus is just saying, don't go there. That is sinking sand. Don't look to yourself and your own resources. What Jesus is teaching us here is you need to look away from yourself. You need to hear me and my words. You need to be directed away from yourself by this word of God to the confidence that is found in me. Your confidence cannot be in anything that you've done, and it doesn't have to be. It is simply in what Jesus Christ has done. Taking refuge, which is the natural way for all of us, in anything we've done, without taking refuge in Jesus Christ, is to stand on sinking sand. Or if I could use a little different picture than what Jesus is doing, it's like trying to find stability amidst all of the storms of life by taking your anchor and casting it into your own boat. How's that going to go? You'll be tossed to and fro. And the winds will continue to pound upon your house and you will fall flat. In the moment, but far more seriously for all eternity. The basis for our confidence is the rock who is Jesus, declared to us in Scripture, where Scripture is the foundation, the basis for everything we believe about Jesus. I don't look at myself and what I've accomplished, I look to Jesus. I want to go on in the second place and speak of faith's blessing. What's the blessing of trusting in Jesus? What's the blessing of being founded upon this rock of our salvation with Scripture as the foundation, the basis for our confidence? The blessing is not as we've seen already, that your life is going to be without trouble. The blessing is not that you're never going to have any difficulties. But the blessing is, as Jesus promises here, you are founded upon the rock. You may be thrown about by various challenges in this life. But ultimately, because your confidence is not in yourself, but in the rock of your salvation, the God and Savior, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, you may be tossed about from time to time. You may have great difficulties. You may have great senses of being overwhelmed in your life, but you will not be moved. And we may live with that confidence. And we may scrape down to the bedrock of our confidence and be reminded time and again that in the midst of everything that happens in our lives, whether it be peril or sword or persecution or difficulty, opposition of whatever kind, trials of life, illness, struggle, nothing will separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. You will not be moved. The rains will come. The floods will rise. The winds will beat upon your house, but you will stand. You will stand. And that's a confidence. That's a blessing, not just for making our way through the difficulties of life from day to day, but that's a confidence that will be for all eternity. Romans 5, verse 1, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God. By this grace through which we stand. It's because of Christ. It's through Jesus, as Romans 5, verse 2 says, and we rejoice in this hope of the glory of God. As Revelation 7, verse 9 says, when it's sort of surveying all things at the end of history and we see the wrecks of time and we see the reality of God's judgment. But then as Revelation 7, verse 9 says, then we see a multitude which no man can number standing. Our house will stand as we put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. So our blessing is for a sense of confidence and encouragement from day to day, a certainty for the future, to be able to stand before Almighty God. But there's an ongoing blessing as well in terms of being founded upon the rock of Scripture. I would allude to Ephesians 4, verse 14, where we're warned against being tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. But when you're able to go back to the Word of God and say, is there a basis for this? And what does the Bible say? And this is my foundation. This is the place where I take my stand. And as we do so together in community, as community of believers, helping each other with our struggles and bringing our difficulties and our questions and our concerns to one another, and we go again and again to the Word of God, we take our stand and we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. We know who we are. We know whose we are. We would say to the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord Jesus, you know that I have fallen short in so many ways. Lord Jesus, you know my struggle. But my hope is built on nothing less than your blood and righteousness. Help me, save me, forgive me. And he does. And he will. And we live with that blessing. We get that from the Bible. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Now I want to talk in the third place about how we build. How do you build? Again, there are two ways, right? There's a wise builder who builds upon the rock, and there's the foolish builder who builds upon the sand. Sand building is what we would say careless, reckless, self-confident. Hey, this is going to be okay. I can do this. I'll do it myself. I'll do it my way. But if you remember Jesus' words here in the Sermon on the Mount come at the end of many words through Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And remember what he said in Matthew 5, verse 20. I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, the scribes and the Pharisees thought they were pretty righteous, and Jesus isn't saying they are. He says, you've got to be far more righteous than that. You've got to be perfect, as my Father in heaven is perfect, and none of us are. So building upon the sand begins with a sense, I'm okay, I can do it myself. And Jesus will go on after that statement in 5 verse 20 to give several illustrations about murder, about lust and adultery, etc. He says, you have heard this, like verse 21, that it's said of old, you shall not murder. Verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. Jesus is saying, it's far more serious than you think. And the issue is the matter of your heart. And you can take your stand like the scribes and the Pharisees did and think, I'm a pretty good person. But if that's your confidence, you're throwing the anchor within yourself and you're going to fall flat. You're not going to stand in the judgment. I say to you, Jesus is saying, I know your heart. But what Jesus is doing here is lovingly showing us our deep need for Him. So we build upon this firm foundation when we hear His words and do them. When Jesus says, the wise man is the one who hears my words and does them, that language, I think, is picked up by James in James chapter 1. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. And that would be just silly, right? But that's the point. Jesus is saying, you can hear my words and you can just go away and say, oh, well, whatever. Or you can hear my words and you can respond to them. And our response, our initial response would always be, okay, I'll fix it up. I'll clean up my life. I'll do better. And Jesus has been saying to us here, no, that is building on sinking sand. And you will fall flat. Great will be the destruction. Great is that fall. And for all eternity. You put your trust in me. We are to build on no other foundation than the foundation which is laid in Jesus Christ. His glorious character. His perfection. His righteous life. His precious death on the cross in our place. His glorious resurrection. You build upon who He is and what He's done. And you will stand secure. And we keep building in the joy of that confidence, in the joy of that salvation. Think of Colossians 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Admonishing, encouraging one another with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. You let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. You hear these words of mine, Jesus says, and you do them. You let the word dwell in you richly. You recognize as you stand on that foundation, you have purpose now. Matthew 6, again from the Sermon on the Mount, verses 33 and 34. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. You seek to continue to build in the joy that you're standing on a firm foundation when you live before God humbly, hungrily, dependently, asking, seeking, knocking, as Jesus says in the beginning of Matthew 7. Ask, and you will receive. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door shall be opened to you. Keep asking, keep seeking, keep knocking, and Jesus promises the blessing will abound. You keep building as well when you hear the words of Christ and you say, no, I want to serve you. I don't just want it to go in one ear and out the other. I don't just want to do my own thing. I want to respond to your word. I want to put my trust in you. I want to live for you. And that's what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 7, verse 12. When he laid out for us what we call the golden rule. Whatever you want men to do to you, do also to them, for this is the law and the prophets. That is to say, you be Christ-like and you count others better than yourself. And you seek to fulfill the law, to walk according to the law, knowing you can't do it perfectly, knowing Jesus has done it in your place. He has fulfilled it all. But this is how you build. And by the grace of God, we may know, as we stand on this firm foundation, Jesus the rock, given to us in the Word, we will not fall. We shall not be moved for all eternity. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have shown us Jesus Christ, the rock of our salvation. We thank you for his steadfastness, for his reliability. Thank you that all the promises given to us in Scripture are yes and amen to us in him. Thank you that you have given us your word, O Holy Spirit, to point us to Jesus. And thank you for the loving, gracious warnings against building our lives upon the sand. All other ground, all other foundations other than the Lord Jesus Christ are but sinking sand. We pray that you would bless and help every one of us in our own struggles, our own difficulties, that we may be encouraged and comforted in the hope that is found in Jesus. And we pray that you would enable us now to hear your word and to do it, to respond to it, and to live out of it with joy and gladness for the glory of your name. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.